Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back to the season finale.
So somber.
Season 6, Grey's Academy. Fuck Gary Clark. We are your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the internet. My name is Kelsey.
And my name is Carmen, and it is a beautiful day. Actually, it did turn out to be a beautiful
day.
It's quite nice. Quite nice to be a little day to podcast. And
fuck Gary Clark.
You know, we've been through a journey. If you have not listened to the other episodes yet, go listen to them. Number one, all of the fun fact pieces are in that episode. Kelsey got all of that for like the people who wrote the episode, produced it, directed it. The viewership.
Yeah.
I discussed the songs.
Which we did confirm. The first episode aired at 9, which was its normal slot, and the second episode aired at 10, which is normally where Private Practice would air.
Yes.
So everyone just got on their phone and called their neighbor, and they're like, you gotta fucking watch Grey's. Shit is going down.
And we watched this preview. So we watched two previews.
We did, yes.
One would have been
a normal preview.
A normal
preview. Without
what
spoiling.
What was before Grey's? Like, was there a show in
I'm sure there was.
The 8 o'clock slot?
Not a Shonda show at this point.
Okay. So whatever show was on ABC.
Yeah.
Before this was like tonight on Grey's Anatomy. And it was like pretty accurate. It didn't give any spoilers, but it ended with.
It said that there was a shooter in the hospital. It had everyone getting paged. It did show that Meredith was pregnant.
It did. That was a pretty big spoiler.
Yeah.
But then it truly was this out of a horror movie scene, drag me to hell, Bailey getting pulled out from underneath the bed.
And that's like where it cuts.
And
they say who will fall. So I guess they were billing it as we know that. No, there was who
was
will fall
both?
in the first one too. I guess they were billing it as like people that you know are going to die.
Yeah. The second preview, however, which was what I imagine was the last episode. So it was the one with Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
It ended and it was like next week on Grey's Anatomy. And it's this, there's a gunshot. People are like, ooh, and there's like this slow motion.
And it's slow-mo tracking the bullet.
Yeah.
It's surreal. So I Googled Grey's Anatomy season 6 finale promo, and it was listed as promo number 2 on YouTube. So I have no recollection of seeing it because it is surreal. It is so unlike anything else we've
seen
from
graphics, like everything.
It looks so bad.
You ever take one of those animation classes in high school and they're like, you need to animate a short film?
Yeah,
it looked like that.
Yeah, it was really bizarre choices. I see what they were going for. It didn't fit in the universe that Grey's has established.
No.
So it was weird. So anyways, we just watched those.
Yeah. But it at the end of that preview, it had Bailey standing at the end of the hallway, and then it cut close up to a white lab coat bullet wound with blood
like,
slow,
yeah,
slow
like expanding. And it, well, they showed it, they made it look like the bullet was going for Christina and then Owen and then Bailey and
who
then
will fall.
Who will fall.
Who
and
will
it
fall.
Also had like a close up on, or was that the other one that had the close up on the gun? The Maven.
That
the
other one had a close up on the gun. Yes. All right.
So, okay.
Take us there, Sketch.
So, I will say, immediately upon starting the second episode, Carmen said Derek lives because he was narrating.
Yes.
That was his, like, and I said maybe he's narrating from beyond the grave. And Carmen said, no, he lives.
So. I was pretty adamant about that. At that point, my prediction had gone from Derek dies to Derek's narrating, Derek lives.
Yeah. So hero versus coward, flight versus fight, live versus die. Everything's a choice. Our whole lives, everything we do as human beings are choices. Like everything. Okay. It's a good speech. Whatever. It makes sense. Yep. There's a lot going on. I was not listening to the voiceover fully. I'll be honest. I was stressed. Again, I know what was happening and I'm stressed. So immediately April tries to step towards Derek and Gary points the gun at her and she goes into her second monologue, which Carmen was also livid about.
Well, I was livid because it's on the heels of her murdering Derek or attempted murder of Derek. But it's we later find out that it's she read on Oprah that if you establish yourself as a person, they're less likely to shoot you.
When I tell you that I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, that tracks. Psychologically, that makes sense.
Yeah. And also, we saw that Gary Clark was able to be talked down. Mm-hmm. So when she goes through all of her shit, where she's from, her parents, I haven't loved, which we established in her fucking diary.
Yeah.
No one has loved her. Not even Charles loved her. It's sad. It's extreme. It's very tense.
Also,
but it does
like,
not make me like her.
He doesn't shoot Christina. He doesn't shoot Bailey. So I believe it's easy for me to believe that he would choose not to shoot her. However, where I struggle to believe that he wouldn't shoot her is because he was on the case with her wife, his wife.
Yes, but she didn't pull the plug. God forbid that she didn't follow an order to kill his wife.
Yeah, I just think that that is, to me, where there's a little bit of like a, this doesn't make as much sense.
I actually forgot about that.
Later on, obviously, he's like, I came here to kill everyone who was there when my wife died.
And during this time, she was sucking Derek's brain dick.
Right, exactly. So
she wishes.
Her monologue, which also people said they wanted recovery covered from us. My name is April Kepner. I'm 28 years old. I was born April 23rd in Ohio. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. My mom is a teacher and my dad is a farmer. Corn. He grows corn. Their names are Karen and Joe. I have three sisters. Libby's the oldest. I'm next. And there's Kimmy and Alice. I haven't done anything yet. I haven't lived. I've barely lived. I'm not finished yet. No one's loved me. Please, please. I'm someone's child. I'm a person. This is, I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with the fight versus flight thing. She's like, what can I do? Like, I can't tackle this man with a gun. Yeah. You're doing something, making a choice to try and survive. And it works. He's like, he puts down the gun and says, run. And she does. She follows that singular direction very well.
And that's when SWAT has
entered the building. That's when he goes back and stands over Derek as though he's going to do the double tap. But then he sees SWAT come in, and so he leaves. That and then it's like immediate title card from there.
Is that when they cut to the closet?
Well, they cut to it and Christina is like, I will not let you leave. If you want to go, you have to go through me. And Meredith says, bet, and throws her into a shelf.
Hard. I thought Christina was going to be knocked out. I was like, she lives here the rest of the episode. And she didn't. She's like, ah, dang, my head. I'm fine. But like, dang, Meredith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an intense. I mean, and I think that speaks a lot to like the severity of the situation.
Yes. But also, I think that this is a very important distinction between Christina, yes, you're my person, but like, that's my Derek.
Yes.
And that's like.
And Christina is trying to be respectful of that, but also trying to keep Meredith alive.
Yes. It makes the later scenes much more
impactful
and emotional.
Yes.
And you're sweating your fucking brains out.
Yeah. Woo. Okay. So, that's when we see Teddy and Owen talking and Teddy's like, there's this guy here with his
sauntering through the hallway
on.
With this guy on the cart.
And Teddy said, she's like, we survived a fucking war. And now this guy shows up and is just shooting people. Like
and
what
what's
kind
supposed
of
to be the safest place in the world.
Yeah. Which is a good point.
It is, but it is crazy to think, especially now that we've gotten some of Hunt's backstory.
Yeah.
The dude survived a blown up car ambush bomb attack.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I think you do love, or Teddy says, I think you do love me. And I think you do love Christina, but I think you also have to choose. And he's like, no, I choose no one. And that honestly, that's his right. If he doesn't feel like he can choose anyone without hurting anyone else, then that's like his right to say, I don't choose anyone.
But choosing no one still causes pain. It hurts regardless of... choosing no one is still a choice hurt.
For sure.
It's just both.
Yeah. It's more of a passive choice in a way.
It's indiscriminate a little bit.
And so then they like stumble on a dead person and he's like, we can't go anywhere. I just have to call 911. And I'm like, you kind of are 911. But I see what you're saying. It's just weird when they're like in a hospital, like, I'm going to call 911.
Also... 911's been called. They're aware this has happened.
They're here. 911 is here.
Yeah. 911's older brother is here. They're coming. But was this before? This isn't the scene with Weber where he's listening to the police.
That's
scanner.
Immediately after this. Okay. They cut to outside, and that's when Marty's like, we're evacuating room by room, floor by floor. We're getting everyone that we can out. Like, you know, all the non-essential people are getting out, but like, you have essential, like, it's a hospital. It's like, there are essential people that cannot be moved.
Which, if you listen to the last part, that sequentialism mm-hmm. is accurate.
Yes. And so. Then they play all of the calls that have been coming from in the hospital. So there's Mark calling about Alex. That. There's Christina calling about Derek. And Weber is standing there hearing people. And then Derek calling about Reed. They're just playing all of these calls and they're flashing and like showing who the doctor is that's talking. And like, it is like, ugh.
I didn't actually catch that those were the calls that came in.
Yes.
I was like, how are they getting this live feed? Like,
I think those were the calls that were actively being... Because they're like, we have to just be giving them information. Because at some point, someone calls and tells them that it's Gary Clark.
And that's when Weber's...
I think.
I don't remember who did that. But that's when they're like, does the name Gary Clark mean anything to you? And Weber's like, yeah.
That's later on. But yes. Okay. So then they go back inside. Meredith is back on the catwalk with Derek being like, you cannot die. You have to live. If you die, I die. Christina is like, we have to get out of here.
Pick me, choose me.
Like,
to
I
live.
Chose you. Yes, you have to choose to live. Christina's like, we have to get out of here. He needs surgery. We have to take him down to surgery. Meredith is like, does not care that anyone else exists. All she is doing is, or Meredith, is that, I don't know what I said. Meredith is begging Derek.
It's Meredith. Yes.
Christina is trying to like maintain the logic piece of like, what can I do? She is acting well under pressure.
Yeah.
Christina and Bailey, I feel like, do a good job of like not freezing in these moments
until, well, there really is never a freeze for either of them.
Yeah.
But there is a point where their
Bailey
physical...
Bailey takes a minute later.
Their physical human body starts to...
process.
And it can no longer comprehend what their rational brain is. It's like the dam has broken.
It's all like an out-of-body experience.
Totally.
So Christina goes to get a wheelchair so that they can take Derek down. She finds April, and that's when April's like, I saw on Oprah, if you tell them personal facts about you, they're less likely to kill you. And Christina's like, I actually don't care. Get up.
That was the scene where I'm like, I don't need another fucking monologue from April.
Well, because Christina starts with gentle. She's like, April, come on, we have to take Derek down to the OR. And then April just starts babbling and Christina goes, Kepner, get up and go. She's like, okay, I tried it this way. Now we're doing the other way.
Fuck.
So
Sarah, you're great. April, you suck.
Mark is with Alex still, and Alex is like, you gotta eat more bacon. And Mark goes, I'm so sorry, what? He goes, you know, you live your life and you like make these choices to try and live longer, but I think I'm gonna die. And I just gotta tell you, you gotta eat more bacon and you gotta have more sex. And I said, if that's not Carmen.
Alex is me and I'm dying, and I'm on I'm that's what I'm gonna say. Eat more bacon. Fuck. And I'll probably say something about listen to Grey's Academy, a podcast, and join the Patreon live. Do that. You should do that. And follow us on all the social media platforms.
Yeah. And so then Lexi runs into Gary Clark and she's like,
getting blood for Alex.
Yes. And she's like, oh, Mr. Clark, you've done it. You've done all of this and that's not good. And so, oh God, this is very stressful. Again,
this is a big reveal that stressed me out too.
He is like, I didn't plan to shoot all those people. And she's like, of course you didn't do that. it's okay, buddy. Well, she doesn't say that, but she tries to, again, she's going to try and talk him down. You can kind of see her make that decision to be like, I can do this. I can save, like, I can help people. I can talk him down. Like, and so.
Because remember, she aced her bedside manner psych rotation. Yeah.
And so he says, I only plan to shoot Derek and Dr. Weber and you because you unplugged my wife.
When I tell you that I did not see that coming, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
None of this I saw coming.
That's true.
But this especially, poor, sweet, innocent Lexi, who is just following orders.
She's just trying to keep Alex alive. She's just trying to choose between two men who love her.
And even Weber was like, you told this man that his wife is going to be fine, so you get to kill her.
See it through.
And now Gary Clark is trying to just see it fucking through.
So he points the gun at her. She closes her eyes. She's just like, I guess I'll just accept it. They pulled the gunshot. They like make you think for a second that he shot her, but
I knew right away she wasn't shot.
Here's the issue with this. I don't think SWAT was going to take a shot if they weren't going to get a shot that was kill him. And I don't think they wouldn't, like, it just doesn't make sense that they wouldn't be able to deliver a more fatal shot or more shots. They're not gonna, at this point, he has murdered multiple people. I don't think they're going to try and capture him.
Also, SWAT will take the shot and swarm in.
Yes.
They took the shot and they're like, all
right,
guys.
Get out, Lexi, back on up.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's clear the area before we go into it.
Yeah.
Also, like, because Gary Clark, it takes him a little bit of time to, like, oh my God, I've been shot. And then he has to get it, like, roll around on the floor a little bit and get up. I just am like, it feels as though maybe there could have been a better plan in place with the SWAT people. But
then the rest of the episode wouldn't happen.
But then plot. So,
yeah.
Luckily, she's not shot. And then she runs away. She gets back to the room. Alex is unconscious. She's crying. She's like, I'm so sorry. Please live. This is my fault. I unplugged his wife. I love you so much.
I love you.
And Mark is very sad. And it is sad.
It is sad. Is this the scene where...
This is not when he talks about it.
Okay. I'm getting my traumas all twisted
up. I know. It all is just one drama after today.
Capital T.
So Gary Clark shows up on the peds floor. Mm. They're working on Ruby because her appendix has exploded. And normally people die if you don't get them into surgery. So they're like, I guess trying to do some kind of something for her on the peds floor.
I really was unclear.
Yeah.
On this one.
I also was.
Because they're injecting her with something.
I don't know if it was like a freaking anesthesia or like what it was. I really don't know.
I don't know.
It was not my priority to know. I'm going to be honest with you. So Arizona immediately throws herself on top of Ruby and is like, there are only children here. And she just says that for the next like 3 minutes straight. She just keeps repeating there are only children here. Callie makes a decision to try and get him out of here. She doesn't decide to try and like take anything from him because she's like, I think I can just get him out of here and that keeps the kids safe, to just get the man with the gun away from the kids, which feels like a good choice.
Absolutely.
Callie, because he's like, oh, they shot me. And so she's like, I'm so sorry. What's your name? Mr. Clark. Here are some bandages. Here's some gauze. You're going to want to push that on your boo-boo. Hold it tight. And then you'll be good to go.
And this is where we have an honorary song title for this episode, which we've already seen before. Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
Because you almost feel bad. Like, this dude just got shot, but he fucking sucks.
He does suck, but I'm like, why are you so surprised that they shot you? Like,
yeah, that's a
how many
confusing.
People have you shot and killed and they just shot your shoulder and then let you roll away? So I don't know why you're offended.
Didn't even swarm him. Didn't even swarm the fucking
dude.
They
did not swat him.
This scene is one of the two scenes that I was very close to crying.
Yeah.
Because all I could think about is there are active shooters out there that have gone to schools that have killed children.
Yeah.
And we both have young children.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That was not a fun scene.
So Callie gives him the stuff and says, take them and go. And he does. And then Arizona and Ruby are both like in a very bad place mentally.
Yes.
Fair.
Which makes, yeah.
Ruby's like crying. Arizona is in like the frozen shock moment. And so Callie is able to talk them both down by being like, Ruby, you don't need to worry because you have the best doctor in the world right now. And she makes you feel better just by being in a room with them. And like her smile is amazing. You can't see it, but like she's
super
giving
magic,
you the
super
best.
Magic
yeah,
smile.
She's giving you the best smile in the world right now. Like you would, like it's amazing, all this stuff. So that kind of is like, it's okay. It brings Arizona back to where she can continue to work and it's okay.
Yeah.
So then Derek's in the OR and he's like, Meredith, kiss me because I'm going to die. And she's like, you can't die. I'll kiss you.
Healing kisses.
And then it cuts to Percy bleeding everywhere.
And this
every time they cut to Percy this episode, Carmen goes, how is he still bleeding? There's so much blood in this man.
All I was waiting for in this scene is for Mandy Moore to put her hair on him and go, flower gleam and glow, let your power shine. Restore, what was he say?
So they're trying to restore what once was mine.
Restore what once was mine.
So they're like, Miranda's still trying to talk to Mary and be like, this is what you need to do. We have to get him surgery. And Mary's like, we can't even like hold him on his side. And Maylie's like, good news, we'll drag him to the elevator.
In a fucking
and all of our problems will be solved.
Blanket. And then she's like, we're almost there, buddy. We're almost there, champ. And he's like, okay, I'm okay. Fucking big ass Charles Percy.
Yeah.
A man they nicknamed Bigfoot at one point.
Bigfoot and what was it when he passed out? Nosedive.
Nosedive.
That's sticking.
A giant man who, hold on, what's the actor's name?
I don't know.
Charles.
Let me get him.
Yeah, but look up his. I just want to look up his height. I want to know how tall this man actually is. Just,
I see what you're saying.
I don't want to.
I would guess 6'3" if I had to guess. Let's find out.
I don't know that he's taller than Mark Sloan, and I'm the same height as Mark Sloan.
Oh my
Sloan.
God, he was born in Tennessee.
Wow.
Wow.
Chattanooga?
No, Memphis. No. The other side. The opposite side.
Mm.
Almost as far away as you can possibly be. What's his name? Robert Baker.
Robert Baker height. That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6'1". He's 6'1".
Oh, okay. It is hard because he stands next to Bailey, who's so small.
Right.
Height. Watson is mad.
It's okay. He's barely mad.
Yeah,
he's just starting to get mad.
6'2". I was closer.
Okay. What did you say?
6'3".
I said 6'1".
Oh, I thought you said 6 foot.
No, I said 6'1".
Yeah,
without
Price
going
is Right rules, you would
Price
win.
Is Right rules, I win. So he's not that big, but Miranda Bailey is what?
5 foot.
Five,
even.
Yeah. So imagine Jessica trying to drag me across the fucking floor.
Exactly.
Essentially is what's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they wrap him up in a blanket. They're dragging him around. And at this point, yeah, there's no reason for concern yet. So where are we at there now after with the sequence of events?
Then we have the choice to drag them. And Carmen's still saying, how is there still blood?
Yes.
Also,
yes.
For the entire second episode, that man is gray.
Grey's Anatomy, am I right?
I mean, he is Grey's Anatomy.
Wait, has the scene yet... Have they had the scene where it cuts to Weber and the Officer Marty's like, shut down the elevators?
No, that's...
Is that the next thing?
Yeah, that's in between. I think.
When they start moving him and when they...
I think so, because I think that's when they say, who's Gary Clark?
Oh, okay.
And then that's when Weber's like, we'll get there.
Runs into a burning building.
April and Christina find Jackson. And Christina's like, go get Teddy. And he's like, she's not here. And she goes, okay, great, go get Owen. And he goes,
she's no longer with us.
He's not here. He's like, I'm so sorry. I need an attending because Derek has been shot. And we need an attending to do the surgery. And there is a moment where Christina and Jackson just look at each other and have an understanding that she is going to have to do this or Derek will die.
Jackson says,
there is no other option.
Why have an attending when we have Dr. Christina Yang on the case?
And Christina, it's interesting because they don't like show a lot of interaction, but they clearly have this connection because they keep getting into scenarios where like
they're together in cardio.
He has like seen her be an incredible surgeon multiple times.
Yes.
I don't think that he is just saying this to like get her through this. I truly think he believes she can do this.
But I think we've also seen enough of him to understand that he's very confident in his own skills too. Mm-hmm. Like I think back to the dollar bill laser point thing, right? Mm-hmm. He's clearly very skilled as well.
Right.
So them together is a good team.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's either us and we have to maintain this confidence. And if I have to be your hype man and my hype man,
yeah, I can do that.
I can do that.
But keep
it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Because the other alternative is nothing. Teddy is gone.
Yeah.
So we have no choice but for my hypedness.
Exactly.
So it's a great, great fucking Jackson episode.
Yeah, for
Gosh.
Sure.
Gosh.
So he says, April, behind me, there's two scrub nurses. Get them and tell them we need them for the surgery. And April's like, but there's no surgeon. And he's like, yes, there is.
Oh, we have a surgeon.
Christina's like, I'm going to do it. And then it cuts to black and then it cuts back. And Christina is scrubbing in and Meredith's like, hey, can you do this? Are you sure? And Christina's like, every gunshot wound is different. You cannot predict it. It has to be like a lot of it is this, but a lot of it is also improv and kind of figuring out it out as you go. I am very good for a resident. I am very good. This is like as humble as you're ever going to see Christina Yang.
We also at this moment, I asked Kelsey to pause and we had to have this kind of like time map setting situation because I asked at what year their career.
Did they become an attending?
Or eligible to be an attending. Right. And you said it was probably like year four
or
five.
I think typically it's five. From what Grace leads me to believe, it's 4 years of residency. And then a lot of people do a fellowship or you could just go straight to an attending.
I'm looking this up right now.
Okay.
So I'm putting in, my question is how many years after residency can you be an attending? Oh. What year are they in their residency?
Three. Is it one?
once residency and fellowship trainings are complete, a person can become a board certified attending physician. From the time of enrollment in medical school to board certification, it could take anywhere from 7 to 14 or more years to become an attending physician.
Well, yes, because you have 4 years of medical
school. Oh, you know what? As I read that, I'm realizing the med school take place. Yeah. Okay, so this is probably right around the time where you could become eligible.
Right.
So 4 years of med school or 4 years
It probably depends on your specialty as well.
Yes. Okay. So... this one here says postdoctoral training, the residency is typically 3 to 5 years. Okay. And then after that, you could be, it's an attending who's a physician who's finished their training. So in theory, she's around the same time as if it was a rookie attending, Christina's not too far behind.
Right. Yes.
Okay. I feel good about this timeline. I thought this was kind of outlandish, but now I actually feel really good about this.
Okay.
I've gone in an arc here.
So yes, she's like, I'm for a resident. I'm very good. And then... she's like, you cannot be in there. And Meredith is like, but it's Derek. And Christina says, if you look at me with don't kill McDreamy eyes, I'm going to kill him. So you cannot be in there. Like, I have to do everything I can. I have to do my very best work. And I cannot do that if you are there. I need you and April to sit here on the ground because April is also not helpful. You're going to sit here on the ground and you're going to not look, not even look in the room. And I am going to save Derek and everything's going to be fine and nothing horrendous is going to happen. False.
It ultimately was okay. But it was stressful.
Okay is how I would describe it. Ultimately, Derek lived is how I would describe it.
Some collateral damage in the process.
Yeah.
Some emotional damage.
A lot. So Alex starts.
Emotional damage.
This is when
damage.
It cuts to Alex and he starts going, Izzy. Yes. Izzy, don't leave me, please. We're married. And Lexi's like, no, it's Lexi. And Alex is like, Izzy, I love you. It's sad.
It is sad.
It's sad. Lexi just told him she loved him, and now it's sad because he loves Izzy.
Well,
and Mark is there also.
Here's, okay, also official prediction. Mark.
Izzy comes back.
Mark will lord this over Lexi's head. Mm-hmm. And convince Lexi to leave Alex because how can you love someone who's not over their ex?
Right.
Said the man who's not over his ex. So, irony. I am predicting that this will be a point of conversation within the first two episodes of next season.
Yeah.
Your dog is just moving.
No, that was the ice maker.
Oh, okay. So, also, what was the other thing? It's sad. So, Alex clearly is, I think he does have these feelings for Lexi. But there's that whole adage of when your life flashes before your eyes.
Well, and there's no closure with Izzy. There is no closure. She just left.
Well, the writers wouldn't let her come back.
Well, they invited her back so they could shoot her. So.
Right. If only. They could have died together.
So then he's like, don't ever leave me again. And then Lexi leans in and she's like, I'm here. I won't leave you again. I love you too. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she becomes Izzy for him. Again, she's crying. Mark is there. Mark is sad for everybody. It's just sad. Mark is still saving Alex. It's a lot.
And he's like, I'm just trying to honor this man's wishes by eating bacon and having sex. And no one's letting me do either of these.
No one's giving me bacon or sex. Okay, so this is when Weber is arguing with Marty again. And Marty's like, why don't you come talk to this lady? And turns around and Weber's like, and runs into the hospital.
And she's like, and he's like, hey, can you talk to Dr. Weber? And she's like, absolutely. Who is Dr. Weber?
And he's like, oh. And Carmen goes, oh, no.
No.
Did you think he was going to go in?
Yeah, absolutely. The second he showed up,
he showed up, he tried to go in.
He did. But the second he followed the police cars, I was like, that man will be in the building. Yeah. I didn't know what the context was going to be, but I was like, that fucking Derek Weber.
Dr. Derek Weber. Don't you love him?
Richard Shepherd and Derek Weber. Dr. Richard Weber.
Yeah.
Will be in the hospital. Yeah. What did I say yesterday? I drank so much mouth.
Oh, you were like, this mouth is making me dry.
The milk was making my mouth dry. I'm sleep dehydrated. I'm sleep dehydrated. Fuck. We're going to take a brief moment for a message from our regional sponsors. We'll be back after this. Maybe less. No, we'll still be unhinged, but we're going to get some bacon.
One of the best things about finishing a great book is knowing that you have another one ready to go in your to-be-read pile. With Book of the Month, you can make sure that your to-be-read pile stays stocked and ready to go. Each month, you can use the app to select from 5 to 7 titles vetted and curated by the team at Book of the Month, focusing specifically on debut authors and early releases. If you can't choose just one, you can always upgrade and add more from your selection. And if that TBR pile starts to get a little too tall, you can skip as many months as you need to give yourself a little extra time to catch up on what you have. Personally, I am a huge fan of suspense and psychological thrillers, so I was very excited to see multiple books on the selection list for May that fit that description. I selected 2 different titles, both of which are set in Washington State, just like our favorite show, Grey's Anatomy. I thoroughly enjoyed The Return of Ellie Black, the first thriller novel from Amiko Jean, and have Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch ready to read on my road trip next week. Right now, you can sign up for Book of the Month and use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. That's code PETALS, PETALS, to get your first book for only $5. Watch out for that blue box at your door and get your TBR pile stocked and ready.
And we're back.
There's no bacon.
No bacon. For sex.
Yes, there's no sex.
All right.
Our spouses aren't here.
Yes, they'd be disappointed if that was the case.
Yeah.
All right, so Weber runs into the building. Lexi is Izzy. And Alex is Alex.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. I hate it. I hate it so much. This is really when everything is like gets the worst. I mean, everything's been bad, but it keeps
bad
getting
to worst.
Badder. Worser, as Scarlett would say.
Worser.
Owen and Teddy get out of the hospital with their patient. And he stands there and he kind of like looks around and realizes that Christina's not there. And Teddy's like, she's still in there. It's okay to choose. And it's okay for you to choose her. You need to go in and get her.
Yep. Great moment.
Yeah.
For Teddy.
And so Owen turns around and runs, and Teddy just kind of like body blocks the cops. Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And so Owen gets back in the building, and I don't know if that would happen in real life, but it's fine.
Yeah, I think there would be more. I don't think that they ultimately would have risked their lives to stop him. Like once he crossed a certain threshold, they're like, all right, dude, like your funeral.
Yeah.
But I feel like there would have been more security upon leaving.
Yeah.
For the re-enter phase.
Yeah.
There was not.
So then we get Meredith sitting with April. And this is another good moment. Because April is crying. And Meredith is like, I just stop fucking crying. Like, this is not about you. But I will say, A, trauma, and B, she feels guilt.
So I have a couple of problems with it. Do you have the dialogue for the scene?
Okay, yeah. It took me a long time to find him, a long time. And even then, it took me a long time to even know that I wanted him to be married, to be his wife, to have his kids. And now when I realize that he is laying on the table in there and my best friend's hands are inside his chest, you don't get to cry about that. And April said, Reed was my best friend and she died today.
And they just hold hands.
Yes.
It was sweet.
Yes.
So the Meredith line
uh-huh.
makes sense. Totally. Tracking.
Yeah.
You don't get to be sad because this shit is happening more to me than it is to you.
Yeah.
Valid. When April said Reed was her best friend, mm-hmm. we have just had so little world building around their friendship that also to me felt like a little bit
of
lazy
writing.
I think
there is some there definitely in the early introductions.
I guess maybe.
I believe that you don't remember it, but I can tell you that it's there.
But best friends?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even think that they have been in the same room as each other since April got her job back.
That we've seen.
Yes. That's the world building.
But they were best friends.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you just have to take my word for it.
All right. I mean, I'm taking her word for it.
That too.
And her word means nothing because it just comes out as word vomit at the worst possible times.
Well, luckily they're able to get Alex and Teddy out. Or sorry, Alex is out because after the Izzy thing, the SWAT people come in and they're like, well, you guys can go. So they get Alex out and Teddy is like, I'm going to go with him to Seattle Prez, I think, is the other hospital since they don't have Mercy West anymore. So Lexi's like, is it going to be okay? And Teddy's
if only
like,
they had another hospital that was closer that didn't merge.
So then they cut back to the Christina surgery and she's like, motherfucker, this bullet is like right next to this aorta. This could not be a more difficult thing unless he had been shot in the heart.
And Jackson said, what, you can't do it? And she's like, no, I can do it. I just
wanted
hope
it to be easy.
That is like, okay, I appreciate that they're putting a little bit of comedy into this. Yeah. They're like, Christina was like, oh, man, why do I have to actually use all of my skills
no,
today?
No, she was just like, wouldn't it be neat if this wasn't a quick in and out?
Yeah.
And not just fully, like, potentially heart bursting.
Yes.
And Christina is like, I can do it. What would Teddy do? Pick her cow, like talks her, like that makes a comeback, talks herself into it, makes the choice, gets to it. And Jackson's like, that was badass. Again, hype man, like keeping her, like you are doing a great job. Like you can do this. You are doing this.
Like that guy.
So then it goes back to
give that
Bailey
man the Harper
Mary,
Avery
dragging Percy to the elevator. Yet again, Carmen goes, how much blood is in this man? Well, none at this point, honestly. that's why he's gray. And they get there and she pushes. Oh my God. Oh, the suit.
This was the other scene that I got really close to crying.
I got close on this one.
Yeah.
So they get to the elevators. They push the button. Nothing happens. Miranda realizes that the elevators.
There's no hum.
Are not on. She goes.
There's no.
She's like, there's a hum when elevators are on and there's no hum. They turned these elevators off. And this is the moment where everything has finally hit her because she has remained calm under pressure. She has been making active choices. She has been keeping this man alive. She has gotten him. She has done all this work with Mary to get him to this point. This, everything she can do in her control, she has done. And now there is nothing else. There is no solve.
Because they can't drag this guy
down the stairs.
Down the stairs.
And have sweet, him live. They could do it, but he would not live.
Right. And sweet little Rapunzel is just holding this man's IV bag.
Yeah.
Elevated.
Yes. You got to keep it above a certain like height.
Yeah.
It has to be above their heart, I think.
Yeah. So, okay. Keep going.
So they,
going.
She has, this is when this breaks her. She's like, I cannot do this. I have done at my job. No one else has, everyone has just made it difficult. And now the elevators are off. And this is when she can't take anymore. And she just starts screaming, turn them on. I have to save him. Turn them on. Like, why aren't the elevators on? And she's just screaming. And Mary is like begging her to be quiet. She's like, what if he hears you? Like, we don't know anything about where this man is with this gun. Like, what if he hears you? Please stop screaming.
Which is all valid. All valid things, Mary.
And so Bailey just steps to the other end and she just like has this moment where it pans around and she is like silent scream sobbing because she is just like everything. She has no more to give. There is nothing else. And she just does that. And then she just like gets to the point and she's like, I promised him that I wouldn't lie to him. And she just accepts it.
When she turns around and she takes off the gloves, yep. I'm like,
so she pulls herself together, takes off the gloves, and she's like, he's going to die, but I'm not going to, like I'm going to be with him in that moment.
And I think, does he say? He goes, I'm going to die, aren't I? And she goes, yes. Or he goes, oh, I'm dying. And that's when she's like, yes, you're dying. And I think right before that, Mary's like, Dr. B? And she's like, Miranda.
Yeah, you're going to need to call me Miranda now.
We're on a first name basis. We're going to help transition this man into the afterlife.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, this is about to, again, get worser. So we're going to go ahead and just call each other by our first names.
Yeah.
So she holds Charles. She takes the oxygen mask off. And he says, am I dying? She says, yes, but you don't need to be afraid. You are not alone. I will be with you. You are not alone. And it is.
Is this the full scene or there's a cut?
It goes away and comes back again. Because then we get Owen going to the OR.
Oh, yeah. Which as soon as he looked in, he's like, oh, no, you stay down there.
Oh, because he goes, I'm going to go in and help. And when Meredith says, you're not going to scrub in, and he goes, no, I'm just going to see where they're at. And Carmen goes, Gary Clark's in there. Gary Clark's in that room. And then the door opens and Gary Clark whips around him with his gun. And Owen's like, whoa. And here's my thing. I just don't know how soundproof these rooms are.
No, he didn't even leave. The door was not closed. Yeah. Meredith clearly heard.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, how is no one like you don't. Gary Clark probably would have been yelling before this. Christina's sobbing.
Right.
Like, I just feel. I understand for the reveal and the drama and the plot, but the reality is like, I just feel like I just have questions.
And it's not like Meredith and April were sitting there going, oh, you listen to one half of my AirPod, I'll listen to the other half.
But also we should have gone back and rewatched that because you can definitely see it on Owen's face the second he looks into the... Because at first, when he walks in and is shocked, it could be shocked because Derek's been shot, Christina's operating alone.
Totally.
Like, that's where the shock could be from. But when you watch it, knowing that Gary Clark is in there, we should rewatch it because it is like, oh, he sees it. Also, he is maintaining that composure. And he is that, like, Christina, and he says, Christina is the woman he loves. And there is a man holding her at gunpoint, and he has to be chill in front of someone else because her man has already been shot. Like, the layers are immense.
He does. It's like when Meredith is telling April, you don't get to cry. Right now in this moment, the bad thing has already happened to her guy.
Yeah.
The bad thing has not quite yet happened to his girl.
Yes.
It's going to.
It's going to happen to him.
Maybe. Something could happen. But yeah, it's like the level of uncertainty. But also there's a level of composure that you have to have as someone who's in the military.
Yeah, for
who's
sure.
Gone through active duty medicine. He laid on top of a guy for how many hours?
Yeah.
Holding him together?
Yeah.
So
he definitely has the training to where it's, I have no problem believing totally. He would be maintaining that composure.
Doesn't make it easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Still shitty. You're going to have to talk to Dr. Wyatt about this.
Everyone, a lot of sessions for this.
Bring in the hospital psych. Where I hope she got out. If we find out that she got killed in all of this, like, nah, I'm gonna be upset because we like a good therapist. So,
okay,
all
right. This is the scene where I was almost crying.
Yeah,
and I think this is because I love Christina, because Sandra Oh is an incredible actress, because this is a fucking nightmare. Like, there was a lot of emotion. It's just very stressful. And then Carmen was like, can we watch that again? And I really didn't want to, but we did.
You're welcome.
And then he was like, can we watch it again? And I said, no, we can't. I can't watch this again. I cannot watch this happen again. I cannot do it. I am having a bad time. And so he goes in. Christina, Gary Clark is like telling her to stop operating. She's sobbing, trying to still work and tell Jackson what needs to be done. She's like crying, asking. She's like, Owen, please. Like, it's just, I hate it. I hate it. It's very well done and I hate it because it makes me upset, which it's meant to. So it's doing its job, but I hate it.
Yeah, it's hate that it's so good.
Yeah,
hate that it's so good.
And I hate that it makes me feels. So then, he's like, "I will shoot you if you don't stop." And Owen is like, "That is the woman that I love, and if you hurt her, if you touch her, I will kill you. You need to step the fuck back." And then Gary Clark's like, "Maybe I'll shoot you, and then I'll shoot her, and then I'll shoot Derek. Then what are you gonna do? Because you're all gonna be shot."
It is a little bit comedic only because it's so fucking intense. It's like so intense that all you could do is laugh. He's like the evil villain. In retrospect, it is kind of funny. He's the evil villain of going, "Well, I'm going to shoot you and then you and then you and then you and then me." Because that's how this is going to end. And it's drama.
And he's like, I didn't want to do this. Like, everyone's getting my way. I just came here for justice. I wanted to shoot Derek because it's his fault. Like, he killed my wife and it's his fault. And I just want an eye for an eye. Like, it's what's right. It's what we deserve. And then Meredith comes in.
It's what's right. Fuck.
And
fuck
she's
Gary
like,
Clark.
"You need to shoot me. If you want an eye for an eye, this is how you get it for every single person involved."
Which is this scene?
You wouldn't have put it together if she hadn't done it.
No, I would not have put this together. When Meredith goes in and says, "The problem with this is the three people you want to kill, I'm married to that one. That one's my sister, and I'm the closest thing to a daughter that one has. So I solve all your problems right here.
Yeah.
You hurt me, they're all destroyed.
Yes.
You've done it."
Like, that's justice, because then they have to feel what you're feeling versus, like,
correct,
you killing them and they're just dead.
Yes. So, man. And then, so is this where
Did you think she was going to tell him to shoot her at any point? Like, but obviously when she goes in, that's what she's going to do.
I felt like probably Meredith was going to have kind of this hero journey somehow.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was going to look like.
Right.
And when the Bermuda Triangle, the Meredithian Triangle comes in and it all centers on her, I didn't see it playing out that way.
Yeah.
Great writing.
Yeah.
Because again, it's one of those things where, like, oh my gosh, Meredith.
Well, she already drowned.
She already did. It's true. She died once. Maybe she sees Ellis and
again,
she says, tell Weber I say goodbye. Or tell Weber I'll see him real soon. She doesn't. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. But it's right after this scene that they start to like have this like weird little plan, right?
So he turns the gun to her. It's almost like he's like, "Oh, that's actually a good idea. I should do that."
Yes.
He does it and Christina is like, "That woman is pregnant. You cannot shoot a pregnant woman."
Well, you can do whatever you want because you're shit. You're a piece of garbage.
Yeah. And so so he turns and then Owen makes the choice to go for the gun. When he lunges, he shoots Owen. That's in the chaos of that. Jackson is like, "You have to trust me. Just raise your hands." And Christina's like, "He's going to shoot us." And Jackson's like, "You had just raise your hands." Like, it's very hushed and very quick. And it's like during the chaos of Owen and screaming and lots of things. And so they do that. They stop and Derek codes. And Meredith is screaming and she's like, "Please don't stop. Save him, please." She obviously doesn't know. She didn't hear this. Owen's right there. A gun has just gone off. Like, there's so much, like, everything that could possibly be happening is happening. And so they're like, "He's dead. Leave. Go away. It's done." And so Gary Clark leaves. It's done.
Yes.
And then as soon as the door closes, they're like, we need to know what his vitals are. So they plug him back in. And Meredith's like, what's happening? The process, like, the brain, the way I would probably just pass out.
Yeah. 100%.
An overwhelming amount of information and emotion.
Because you go from Derek's going to die to Meredith is going to die.
I mean, the scream that she gives where she screams Derek is like unreal.
Yeah.
She already probably thought he was dead when he got shot the first time. And now she thinks he's dead a second time. And now she's finding out he's not dead. And
all during this time, she says she's trying to convince another guy to make her dead.
Yeah.
Make me dead.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a journey.
Anyways, so while they're figuring out that Derek is still alive, Christina says, "Is Owen dead?" And Meredith's like, "What is happening?" And Christina's like, "Can you tell me if Owen's dead?"
I'm saving your guy. Can you just fucking maybe check on mine for 1 second, Meredith?
Meredith goes over and she's like, "No, he's breathing. He's unconscious, but he's alive." And she says, "You and April need to take him to the other OR and save him." And Meredith is like, "But I want to." And she's like, "For the love of God, I will save Derek. Can you please fucking save Owen? Like, he just took a bullet for you.
Literally.
Can you just do him this one favor? I don't care if you don't like him."
"I want to like you, but right now I want to punch in the face."
And so then then we get the tell Reed I love her scene.
This was hard.
Yes. Carmen did not love it.
I didn't love it. Did Bailey at this point doesn't know Reed is dead?
Yes, correct.
That's what makes this scene shit.
Yeah.
Because now Bailey has to basically not follow through on this man's dying wish promise.
Well, but she was going to.
She was.
Ultimately, if you believe in the believing, then he probably tells her when he runs into her in heaven.
Yeah. The craziest thing just happened. I was just telling Bailey to tell you that I love you.
Also, all the time I think about when he says, "I had a huge crush on her and she didn't know." And Mandy Moore says, "She knows. The girl always knows." I think about that all the time. In tropes where they're like with the George and Meredith thing.
Yeah.
Like, she would know. I don't care how dumb she is. Yeah. She would know. Like, there are lots of tropes like that in shows like this where, and I think of, I'm like, Mandy Moore said it. The girls always know. They know. They're just being dumb.
And Mandy Moore would be right.
She would so be right.
She would be right. Have you seen the movie Midway?
No.
She's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You should watch that movie just because of her. It's a World War II movie starring Mandy Moore.
And then he says, "I know you don't like me." And Bailey goes, "I like you." And he goes, "No, you don't. But you were always my favorite doctor. I just thought you
dagger.
Should. Dead. I just thought you should. Beep. So that was bad. That was unfortunate. I didn't like it.
Also, it is kind of interesting because earlier in episode one in Sanctuary.
Yeah.
She goes, "I don't like this guy, but he's useful, so I keep him around."
Yep.
And Mary's like, "Doesn't my husband have a sweet-looking ass?" And Charles is like, "Yes, ma'am, he does." Like, good. They make us like Charles just a little bit right before they off him.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. "Yes, ma'am, this, and yes, ma'am, that." And
yeah.
"You should like him, Bailey. Cut him some slack."
All of his blood's on the floor. You should cut him some slack.
And when he was on the floor, he did nothing. He didn't gesture to her. He didn't. He kind of took. He was going to take that secret of her being there to the grave.
Yeah.
And we also get that scene. I think it was a couple moments ago, before they get to the elevator, where he's like, "You were smart. I said I was a surgeon. You said you were a nurse. You were smart. I'm an idiot."
That's when he was like, "Oh, because she said that she was a coward. She was like, you're brave, and I want you to know that you're brave." And he says. She was like, "I wasn't brave. I lied and said I was a nurse." And that's when he's like, "No, that wasn't like being scared. That was being smart. I wish I had been that smart." And then I think it's like the tell Reed. And then it's like, "I know you don't like me, but you were always my favorite doctor. I'm going to die now." I hate it. Back to Meredith. Her and April take Owen to the other OR. And he's like, "Let me go. I got to go help them." And she's like, "You've been shot." And they like see that it's a through and through.
Slams his fucking head on the table.
She's like, "It's a through and through," but they still have to care for him. Like he can still become more injured.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Let us just do this. Let Christina save Derek, and you stay here and let me do this for her. Like she gave me instructions, and I'm gonna follow those instructions."
At this moment, I said, "All of this stress is for sure gonna give her a miscarriage."
Yeah. Because she starts bleeding. Because she says, "Ow," and April goes, "What's going on?"
Yes.
And then she's like, "Nothing." And then April's like, "No, you're bleeding on your leg. Maybe you were shot and you just don't know it from shock." And then Meredith says, "No, I'm having a miscarriage." And it's That is where I did a little bit cry, which I've never done before in watching this episode. But I have since had children. And yes. I also have no very close friends who have had miscarriages. And yes. I don't. It's like it's very sad.
Yes.
And I can't imagine it.
And she just goes and says, the miscarriage can wait because I need to save my Christina's yes. Owen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah.
Also, kudos to the writers. Mm-hmm. Podcast burp. And the showrunners.
Yeah.
They never show below the belt.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
As if Reed getting shot in the head wasn't graphic enough. Yeah. They didn't need to show
her having miscarriage
blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I think probably was the line.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So that's really upsetting and I hate it.
Yes.
I wrote in parentheses cry because I was crying.
Crying. Yes.
So then they show Weber in the hospital. I think what we're going to do is this episode will just be like a little longer than an hour. And so we'll have three episodes.
Yeah, that's okay, fine.
That's what we'll do. And so Weber's in the hospital. He finds Gary Clark. I don't know why I wrote this or believe it in my heart to be true. I wrote that he found her in the room where they unplugged Allison. I don't think they said that. I think I may have made it up in my brain.
That was the
implication.
Yeah, like the unspoken felt. Thing.
Okay.
I was also getting
like, why
that.
Did I write this? But if you also felt it, then maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
So Gary says, I've been looking for you. And Richard goes, I've been looking for you. And then they have a lot of back and forth. Gary's like, I bought this gun at a Walmart. He doesn't say Walmart, but that's what he says.
The superstore.
Did you know you can buy a gun on aisle 8? And then I bought a lot of ammunition because it was on sale.
Bought so much, I couldn't even carry it all with me.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, I decided to bring my flask instead of the extra ammunition, and now I only have one bullet. Well, because you shot too many people. You were going to shoot 3 people, and you've shot 100 trillion people. That's too many people, Gary. Any amount of them is too many. You've run out of bullets. That's bad. You've made bad choices.
Imagine what life could have been like for you if you could have kept your emotions in check and not killed Reed
this
and
is
shot Alex.
So true. We should process our feelings. And let people have them and not shoot people, please.
Yes. Everyone should go see a therapist.
God.
If you experience a loss, maybe consult a therapist.
Yes.
Even if you haven't had a loss, just check in.
Yeah.
Talk through things. Yeah.
It's bad. So
don't go shooting people named Reed or Alex.
They talk a little bit of back and forth. And he tells him, like, I was going to kill you. I was going to kill... And then I was going to kill myself. And now I only have one bullet. And Weber's like, well, I guess you've got a problem. He's like, yeah, I guess I do. And he's like, can you open my flask? Because I'm shot and I have to hold this gun. And I really feel like they build it up because they talk about Weber being sober. They build it up in a way where you almost think that he's going to force Weber to take a drink. And I'm glad they didn't do that.
I was actually getting a vibe that
Weber was just gonna.
No, that Gary was also a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, I see.
And this drove him to lose his mind
again.
I thought he was gonna be like, I was 30 years sober until today.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like that.
Yeah. So he says, like, I don't normally drink, but I thought I was going to need liquid courage to shoot all these people and then myself. And now I'm out of bullets and I didn't need a drink. Turns out I didn't need to drink to be a murderer. I could have just done it on my own and I should have brought all those extra bullets.
Yeah. If I could have just left my flask at home and realized the strength to murder was in me all along.
Yeah. And so then
he
offers Richard another drink and Richard takes it and is like, vodka, and pours it on the floor. And Gary's like, hey, don't pour it. And he's like, dude, this is not what this is about. It is time to make a fucking choice. You have done a lot of shit and you're just drawing it out. Are you going to shoot me or are you going to kill yourself? Because you can kill me. I've had a good life. Death for me, whatever.
Well, he also talks about, like, I have been, he said, I think one of the direct quotes was, I've been to hell and back.
Yes.
I've gone through my shit.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about life is it's kind of shit sometimes.
Death for me, I'm going to be resting.
Yeah.
Also, don't love that he's like, I've had one great love. I don't like that, how that feels.
He was talking about Adele.
I don't love that feeling.
No, he was talking about
He was obviously talking about Ellis.
Yeah. Did he say one great love I've had great love?
I've had one. He specifically says one. I noted it.
Damn. I didn't catch that.
unkind, it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Oh, it went all the way back up to the top. Okay, so then they go back and forth, and he basically talks Gary Clark into killing himself.
He goes full on Heath Ledger to Harvey Dent and says, have a little anarchy, you bitch boy. Yeah. And he goes, no, 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 I'm just going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And SWAT's basically like closing in. Yeah. And that's when the gunshot.
Like, they're like one room away and you hear them, the gunshot go. Also, they cut, obviously, so that you don't know for a commercial break if he shot himself or Weber. I do remember being pretty confident that he shot himself. But there was part of me that was thinking, what if he did shoot Richard? But I mean, it was close to the end of the episode. So I was like, they're either going to not
tell us.
This
was a three-parter.
And it's going to be a cliffhanger. Well, I also couldn't remember like what the cliffhanger aspect is, because they really wrap a lot of it up.
There really didn't feel like there was any cliffhanging.
The cliffhanger is Alex is on a ventilator and not awake.
Yeah.
And Meredith didn't tell Derek about the baby or miscarriage.
Right.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Those are the cliffhangers. So,
yeah.
For the emotional roller coaster we just went through, not a lot of cliffhanger.
Yeah.
The most I feel like we get all the answers for most of it. Anyways, so that happens, and then we get a lot of, again, this episode is very similar end-wise to the previous episode where there's cutting back to back to all these other things happening. And it's Derek's in V-fib, cuts to the other hospital where Teddy is telling Lexi and Mark that Alex is okay. Lexi goes to be with Alex. He's not awake. He's on a ventilator, but it like appears that he's okay-ish. Back to Derek.
Teddy's in her red hot scrubs.
Back to Derek, not doing well. Mary and Bailey get out. And okay, you mentioned this because they said the police officer goes up, Mary and her husband reunite. And then
he has eaten the whole pizza by himself.
Bailey
none left
is
for
talking
Mary
to
and her
police officer
bag.
And she says, what was the doctor's name? Reed what? And you said you didn't understand what that means. She's looking for Reed so that she can fulfill this promise she's
got
made
it.
To Charles.
That makes sense.
Reed's dead.
Now. I didn't get to that point until now. For some reason in my head, I don't know why she was claiming to be Dr. Reed.
No.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense. Why is she saying that she's Dr. Reed?
No, yeah, yeah.
So, okay. That's good. Thank you. That helps. And that is very logical. Yeah. I should have gotten that. But the emotions are high.
Yeah, very, yes. Christina's still trying to save Derek. Okay. Carmen's about to yell a lot because then we have the Arizona and Cali scene.
Yep.
Carmen hated it.
Hated everything about it.
Hated everything about it.
Hold on. I would have been okay with this scene if they never broke up.
Okay.
However, I just said last week or 2 weeks before, I said
last week.
That I would be really disappointed with Arizona's story arc. Because they've made her a strong, independent woman. And she just says, well, this near-death experience, while still hopped up on adrenaline and emotions and everything... There's only children here. She says she wants 10 babies with Callie, and she's ready to give up everything.
And she's like, oh, here's my issue with it.
It's on the heels of Callie saying,
we don't have to have kids.
As long as we're together.
Right. Okay, so that's an issue, because that's going to be resentment later
Correct.
On.
Correct.
Again, I definitely agree with the issue of we're making decisions based on adrenaline. Based
Trauma.
On a near-death experience. Which, yes, people do that. They make the life is short, let's do things, whatever. Give it a bit. Make sure that's what you want. I also don't love when she's like, I didn't think I wanted kids, but you would be a great mom and you will be a great mom. I'm like, okay, but so you're not going to be,
you're going to be a mom.
You're still going to be involved.
Yeah.
It just feels really like, well, I saw you be really good with this kid, so you should have kids and I'll also be there. What? It's just unclear. Again, I agree with you. It's definitely made in the heels of the like moment. And with a lot of the conversation I've had with the people who were reaching out to us about our conversation about the choice to not have children, that is like a disappointing resolution to a story when they have a character that's just like, I just don't want kids and that's okay. When they then pivot and change that, they're like, well, that is not necessarily like true to like the reality. I mean, in some people it is. I don't know. It's just obviously like there will be more to unpack in the future, but
it's
it is.
Challenging. I'm not I'm not upset that they're together.
Yeah. That's what you said. You were like, I want them to be together, but I don't want anyone to change their mind.
Correct. I wanted them to be okay and resolute in their decisions because that is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to want a family. It's okay to not want a family. Yeah. It's also okay to not change your mind for a significant other. Don't change your mind for a boy. Don't change your mind for a girl. Just
it's
don't
okay
do it.
It's okay to recognize that sometimes you're not going to be with someone that you love because Correct. It's just not meant to be.
Correct. So the fact that they went, and I truly didn't think they were gonna do this and change up Arizona's whole
Herman
trajectory.
Yelled a lot about
I was, it. I was upset like it. About it. But again, to be clear, it's not around them being together. I'm happy to be together.
No, it's just the story change from the really good job they were doing at representing those characters and those choices.
Yeah, from they gave Arizona a lot of layers.
Well, and Callie goes, people are dead. I don't want to have kids if I can't be with you. Again, that feels like it's going to be resentment down the line. And then Arizona's like, no, we will have kids. We'll have so many kids because you need to be a mom because you're so great with kids. And that is true. But again, it's just, it feels like a rush decision. You know, we'll see how it plays out, obviously. But Carmen was not happy.
Yeah.
Derek is okay. Weber is okay. Shakes the sergeant's hand. They've done it together. Weber's not in trouble for bullying a man into killing himself.
Oh.
Meredith goes back to her locker. She sees the pregnancy test from the morning and throws it away. Christina
Which I said
in.
She would
yeah,
do.
Christina comes
I said
in
she's
going to
throw it away.
Derek's
not
asking for you.
Yeah.
So that was the season 6 finale. We did it, guys. We made it.
It's now bad
it
time.
It was really painful.
To tell you that I spoiled the season 7 finale, and I know.
Carmen multiple times was like, why do we do this podcast?
Why?
I don't like this show anymore. I hate this. I can't believe. Why did we start this podcast? Everything is terrible. I want to stop. A lot of things along those lines.
I don't know why people kept watching this show after this. Like, at this point, Shonda said, I'm destroying the universe. Deal with it.
So I think it's pretty safe to say we can give both of these episodes a 5.
I think we agreed on negative 12.
We did a little bit agree that they would be really lowly ranked because they made us feel poopy doopy.
They're five. They're poopy doopy.
But
they're
incredible. Like, it's the way they make you feel. Yes, you're not feeling good, but the investment that you are in for 2 hours for these episodes is just beyond anything else that you really ever experience on television.
There is one thing that I will say these two episodes did not have, and it was just not enough drama.
Yeah, there wasn't really. It was just kind of dull. Nothing happened. They were just in the hospital the whole time.
Really well written, great character development.
Some
not
acting,
drama.
Some good acting, some okay acting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so obviously great episodes.
Yeah, great
episodes. So excited that it worked out this way for us to do this in person.
So we're number one, we're going to take a week off.
Yes. There's 3 episodes that are going to be released. I think we're just going to release them all on the same day. Are we going to release all 3 of these on the same day? Okay.
Just all TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. We'll do Thursday. Yeah. We're going to take a week off, mostly because of my work schedule.
Yes. And because of traveling.
And traveling.
Just everything all at once.
But I don't even know what I could begin to start predicting for these next season.
Well, you could
season.
Start with, Meredith was pregnant. Meredith had a miscarriage. How do you think that she's... We are led to believe she's going to choose not to tell Derek. So how do you see that playing out?
Okay. So actually, here's a couple of things. Derek, in his recovery, will have to step down as chief.
Okay.
Weber will step back into being chief.
Okay.
Prediction number one. Okay. Weber will be chief again for season 7 and beyond.
Okay.
Derek, they're not going to kill him to get him off the show because they tried killing him once. I don't think they're going to try killing him. It's like in baseball, if you throw a retaliatory pitch at the opposing player, you don't get a second shot. If you miss it, you don't get to throw again. They tried killing him. They don't get to try again.
Okay.
But he needs to get off the show unless he's still there, unless he's the only character there who's left. But I just don't believe that. I think Alex and Lexi are going to still be together, but I don't know what that means for the whole Izzy stay with me, Izzy, I messed up thing.
Right.
Hunt and Christina are going to get back together. He chose her.
Right.
That has become the clear thing. And he said, I love her to Gary Clark.
Yeah.
Jackson and April.
Yeah.
Gonna fuck.
Okay.
She deserves some love.
Okay. Interestingly enough, earlier you did not think that's what she deserved.
April has made some mistakes, but Derek told us that it's okay to make mistakes with your life. Even if you shoot people, you could still be a good person.
It's just a mistake.
Darth Vader, anyone? You can kill kids and still be redeemed.
Debatable.
Yeah. I think that's all the predictions that I have.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah, I feel like there's not much more to talk about. I think you've got the main ones. So, oh.
Alexa.
She has something to say.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you guys for coming on this journey. If you don't follow us on Instagram, please, or TikTok, make sure you head to those places because I'm going to have at least one reel of Carmen's, like a, what is it, when I a compilation.
A montage compilation of his reactions, fucking going nuts.
And if you, it's Grey's Academy Pod at Instagram and TikTok. So we should have at least one, if not more, because I have like upwards of 20 minutes of him watching this episode on my phone.
It's mostly just swears.
Yes. And so keep a lookout for that little extra content today. We really appreciate you guys. We love talking about, I was so exciting, having a great time talking with everyone about like leading up to this episode. So if you're not on our Patreon, please consider
finding us there.
So you can get on the Discord and chat and also get like the bonus episodes that are on our Patreon, but, that you can find on your, you can find like the Discord, and that's, we are really active on there. We have a lot of channels, but we are like active as, and so are many of our, patrons and friends. And we're very thankful to have such a lovely community.
Who don't spoil anything.
Yes, you guys, this is amazing. We got here and there was essentially no spoilers.
I'm still shocked. I mean, genuinely in shock.
He was very shook, as he should be. And I am thankful.
Yes.
It was as close as I'll ever be to watching it for the first time because I was still very stressed, even though I knew it was going to happen because I was watching it with someone who had never seen it before. And the stakes felt high because of this podcast.
Yes.
So anyways, we love you guys so much. This was like really cool and we're so glad that we got to do it in person. And please like share this. We're really hoping that this episode is one that people who like haven't found us before, like if you know people love Grey's, share this one specifically, please. I just think people will really enjoy it. And then we should maybe be off next week and then we'll be back. So enjoy these three episodes and then we'll be back in a couple weeks with season 7.
Can't even believe it. We're like halfway.
Look at us now.
To,
who would have thought?
Yeah.
We're halfway to halfway. No.
We started this show almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. September of 21.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Where has it gone?
We're about to start season 7 now.
I do think we need to make every season finale a back and forth trip.
We're going to try. Yeah, we decided that it would be really cool if we could watch every season finale at least together. So hopefully that'll be something we can coordinate. We'll do our best. Obviously, we life and kids and spouses and other work and stuff. But we're going to do our best. But this was amazing. This was truly, I wish that you could have all been watching this with us, but we all just would have been watching Carmen watch it. So just a bunch of people sitting and facing you while you face the television.
Honestly, my dream.
It's just the Michael Jackson popcorn meme, like times 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, share it, please. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for not giving any spoilies. And please remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
just remember, we really, really do appreciate you all. And no spoilies. We will see you all in the next one.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.